What does it mean to be a Western yogi? How can someone who was born and raised in the West, who comes from a Judeo-Christian background, practice yoga and meditation in an authentic and genuine way? My name is Christopher Sartain, and this is the Western Yoga Podcast. Greetings, everyone. Welcome to another episode of the Western Yoga Podcast. I'm so happy to be joined today by Gershon and Gina, or as they preferred to be called, G&G Music Factory. And there are some of my ATL homies, and they live in Atlanta, and they're traveling musicians, sacred chant musicians, and yoga teachers. And so I thought it would be cool to have a chance that, well, Gina's a yoga teacher, I should say. Gershon's a keyboard player, harmonium player, kirtan walla, as it were. And so I'm just delighted that y'all would chat with me. I haven't really talked to anyone yet on the podcast associated with kirtan or sacred chant or mantra. And so I thought it'd be a real good place to start. So thank you all so much for joining us.
Thank you, brother. Yeah.
And I have to say, I kind of live vicariously through you in a way. Keep up with your Instagram account and everything. And I just love to see y'all doing your thing, traveling all over the country, going to different yoga studios and doing what you do. And it's just so cool to watch. And I kind of dream, you know, like that would sort of be my dream life, I think, just touring around and playing music and chanting and getting to meet different folks from different walks of life and different parts of the country and stuff like that. So anyway, I'm just delighted that y'all are here doing my little podcast.
Oh, same, man. I mean, I love watching you and your partner and all that you were rooted in down there in South America and your ashram and it's just beautiful. It's beautiful to witness and watch, just from even a social media perspective, you know, just yeah. To see y'all's yurt down there and just living such good, what looks like from here, great air, you know, yeah. You're living kind of a rural setting and so I think yeah, for us too, we love what we do, but then there's also, you know, we really appreciate and just admire what you're doing.
Well, thanks so much. And I first came to know Gershon, well, I remember back around 2000. Yeah, that's when I met
11.
But I remember back in the year 2000 or so, I was playing in a reggae and funk band in Athens, and our bass player, for whatever reason, couldn't play a couple of house parties. And so we invited James Keen to come play bass, reggae bass.
No way.
Yeah, for a couple house parties. And so he sat in. And then, after that, he had tried to contact me maybe to play some more reggae and stuff. I just, to be honest, wasn't in a real good place at that time. And I kind of lost touch with him. But then I remember a few months later hearing about Dub Conscious. And so I remember going to see some of y'all's first shows at like Tasty World. And
Tasty World, that's it. Upstairs, yeah. Tasty World. Summer
upstairs
of
at Tasty World. Oh man, that summer was so awesome.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, that's right. And
what was the name of your band? What was the name of your band?
Bodhi Sesh.
Okay.
Yeah, we didn't stay together very long, and we mostly played house parties. We did play at Tasty World a couple times and a few other places around, but at any rate, so yeah, and then so I probably saw y'all play a dozen times or so just around Athens, and so that was really cool because that gave me an outlet to just enjoy reggae and my, you know, where I was living and everything. Yeah. And then, but I ended up moving to Dahlonega, Georgia after that. And kind of,
I lived in Dahlonega as well.
That's right. And you know, our mutual friends, Joe and Sayori at Revival Gardens. Joe Adams, and I think maybe you know them, maybe not.
don't think.
Okay, sorry. Anyway, no worries. I'll edit that out. No, I won't. But anyway, so yeah, I remember you telling me you had lived in Dahlonega for a while, and so we had that in common as well. But then, yeah, and then we had some mutual friends living around
Kyle Green.
Atlanta. Yeah, Kyle and Nelson, some other folks, and then we went to see
Nelson.
y'all at in Marietta, I believe it was, which is where I'm from originally. I think it was in Marietta or somewhere around there, Roswell or something.
Oh yes. What was the name of that? I know what you're talking
That was a
about.
cool
Yeah.
place. It had like a lake.
It did. It did. I can't remember the name of it, but you're right. It is like Marietta, Roswelly up there. And I remember you and your beloved came. Yeah, that was so sweet, man.
Yeah, so that was really cool and got a chance to hear y'all chant and everything. But anyway, so y'all are now touring the country, looks like year round, more or less, from what I can tell, and just having a big old time. So y'all want to tell me a little bit about how you kind of got involved in the first place in kirtan, sacred chant, mantra, and all that?
Yeah, for me, it actually started before Dub Conscious, and I was like 20, 20 22 years old. And I remember going through an important plant medicine phase at that time. I still love and call on those medicines, but at the time, and I was just it's such that when I was experiencing it at that point in my life, there were no like real elders, or shamans to really guide me through and integrate the experiences I was having. So it left my nervous system a little bit fried. And I remember I found this tape. I don't know how I got it, but I had this tape, cassette tape. And I just put it on, and it was the Aquarian sadhana, from the Kundalini tradition, and I just kept flipping the tape, and I didn't know what the mantras were, but I kept listening and then trying to chant with it, and eventually got it down. And I just remember being like, whoa, this medicine is so potent. I feel it so much. I love it. And that was kind of the intro for me.
Right on.
Yeah, and for me, I mean, I began practicing yoga in 1999, Peachtree Yoga Center, and also meditation very close to that time as well. And just over the years, deepening my studies, taking lots of workshops and trainings, I just was exposed to chanting mantras, to kirtan. When I got involved in a meditation school in 2008, I really learned the practice of japa, the recitation of mantra, not necessarily in collective experience, but just a personal recitation practice that might just be saying the mantras, as well as singing them with simple melodies. And also my meditation practice is mantra based. And so I've been steeped in mantras as well as yoga, meditation, et cetera, for some time. But my path was a little different. I played music when I was a kid. I played drums for a couple years on a drum kit, took lessons, but that was about it. But when Gershon and I connected, this man is into mantra music, so we quickly started playing some music together, more of the kirtan style of mantra and sacred chanting in that context more, and it just developed from there, and we originally thought our collaboration would be more about, he would offer the music and I would teach yoga together, and then, but pretty quickly, the fire of kirtan kind of took over, and now we do a whole lot of that is still with, you know, offerings of the yoga with it as well. So that's kind of how I got more deeply into it. And now I just, you know, I love it so much.
Yeah, gosh,
Yeah.
thank you.
And for me, you know, so yeah, from that moment of, by the way, that cassette tape was Wah, apparently in her early
Oh, I
days.
love Wah.
I know, right?
We saw her in
Apparently.
Atlanta a couple times.
Yeah, I wondered, was I on the keyboards? Because I would sit in with her. No, not for that.
I wish it had been. No, it was a different dude. That was back in around 2010, 2011, something like that, I want to say.
Yeah, that makes sense then. Yeah, and so it was so from that cassette tape, and like you said, and Dub Conscious started, and you know, off we went from 2002 to 2009, and then in 2010, Rahasia, are you familiar with Rahasia? Yeah,
Oh yeah, I know them.
Tordas and Vajra, and so I toured around the country with them for 3 years, 2010 to
That's
2013,
right.
and
Yeah,
that
very
was
cool.
my big like intro into playing, you know, and doing kirtan. And then yeah, and then eventually I was like, man, I really want my own project. And the song started flowing, and yeah, here it is, 2024.
Awesome. Yeah, we were talking before
Yeah.
we started recording about Atlanta. I mean, there's still a scene, but I mean, gosh, between like we were saying, like between 2005, 2012-ish or something. I mean, it was really popping off, and we knew Bhakti Messenger. I don't know if y'all knew them. They became Blue Spirit Wheel later, and
Yeah,
my wife and I used to
absolutely.
have a yoga studio in Dahlonega, Georgia, for a couple of years, and we invited Blue Spirit Wheel up there to play. And then
Awesome.
we actually invited them out to Crestone, Colorado when we were living out there. They came out there and played and stayed with us. And Rahasia, yeah, they were awesome. And out of Athens. And there's a few other groups and stuff. And Snatam Kaur was coming a lot. And yeah, we saw Wah play. Gosh, who else? I mean, yeah, it was really popping. So what's it like now? Because I haven't really, you know, been plugged into that Atlanta scene.
It's amazing. It's amazing. I mean, there's been Chantlanta has been going on, which is
Chantlanta, yeah, we went to the first couple of those.
Atlanta Chant Festival. Crestone, Colorado, I just want to throw in too that we came out there a couple times for Rahasia. What an amazing town in the United States of
Yeah.
America. I mean, it doesn't even feel like you're in the United States. It's like
Nah. Yeah, that's we had to go live there for a couple of years and have that experience before we moved to Chile. We would have stayed. The thing is, unfortunately, my wife's mother became very ill. She got cancer, and that's why we moved to Chile in the first place. But otherwise, we probably would have stayed in Colorado for, I don't know, a few more years. Crestone is it's a power place for sure. It's a
power
juicy
place.
spot.
Yeah, totally. Yeah.
Well, I'm happy to hear Atlanta's still got a scene going on. That's good
Big
news.
time. Big time. There's
Awesome.
a lot of different groups, and yeah, it's
And I
thriving.
mean, things took a little during COVID, like a lot of things did. And
Sure.
you know, but we are recent, you know, kind of in the past year or so, seems like there's a regrouping and a building of momentum once again to
Big
come
time.
together and chant more. So,
Very cool. That's awesome. That's good to hear. When y'all go around the country, like, I'm just curious, how do you do that? Like, do you just kind of send like cold calls out to studio owners and stuff like that? Or how are you doing your networking and trying to find places to play?
Yeah. I mean, I feel fortunate in that I've gotten to do a lot of festivals, Bhakti Fest, Shakti Fest, Midwest Yoga Festival, stuff up in the Northeast. So, you know, yeah, so there's all those connections that I've made over the years as that goes. Plus, I've been a touring kirtan musician since 2010. And so, yeah, it's built up over the years. But yeah, specifically technique, yeah, I have a couple different things, you know, like let's say, you know, there's a spot in Springfield, Missouri, and, you know, they reached out and they'd like to have us for an event. And then so I'll start building the tour around that. And then a couple different methods I have is like, you know, for routing wise, if it makes sense to go through this town here, you know, then all couple different methods. I could Google search Kirtan in that town, see what comes up from history, and then hit them up. And then another way is
Yoga studios.
yoga studios. What?
These are yoga studios.
Yeah, search yoga studios. Yeah, exactly. And yeah, and then as far as yeah, like you know, these days, I mean, there's Instagram messages, there's Facebook messages, there's emails, there's text messages, you know. So I'll go about it that way. And you know, sometimes it's hard to get an answer, but I found that if you stay persistent, you know, come with a phone call that and you get them on the phone, that normally is a good end.
Cool, right on. And Gina, I guess you do teach some yoga classes as well, from time to time, no? Like as part of the events. And does that is there music going on as you're guiding the yoga class?
Totally, totally. That was the idea to have the mantra music flowing with the yoga instruction so people would have a synergistic experience of mantra
That's so awesome.
and then yeah, it's really magical, really powerful. And also we usually do at least one kirtan song at the end of the session, when people are nice and opened up, and then we chant together. And even during the practice, we try to include, really inviting people to chant some, in a moment during the flow of the yoga as well. Because yeah, it's hard sometimes for people who are new to it. They feel a little self-conscious or not so sure about chanting
Yeah.
mantras. So yeah, we kind of sneak it in a little bit. It's a great entry for communities that have not been exposed to kirtan. Most people, know and love postural yoga and want to come to that. And so they get a taste of the mantra as well. In addition to just being a really powerful offering itself, like having the music with the yoga really moves into some deep places. It's
Oh,
also a
for
good
sure. And
starting point.
talking about people being self-conscious, yeah, I have a lot of, you know, during our teacher trainings here and retreats and stuff like that, I always try to chant a little bit. But yeah, I do find it is tough sometimes to get folks to open up and just kind of drop all the armor and stuff. So, you know, like what techniques have y'all found that that work for getting people to kind of like lower their inhibitions or just flow without, you know, without any worries?
There's a few things. I mean, one is for sure like dropping it in there during the flow of the yoga practice. We call it our mantra music dance party moment, where it's like we just kind of get them up free flowing movement and like, hey, and here's this mantra. Let's sing it together while you're moving. And people, I think, are a little more free with that. Like they're not just sitting there singing. We also try to keep the lights low, so people can have in kirtans and in general, so people just have that feeling of being a little more visually anonymous, private. That helps as well. And just also, I think educating people about the power of their voice, and that it's a practice. It's a powerful way to move energy and to elevate energy to actually sound your voice. And I just encourage people, like, it doesn't matter what your pose looks like, it doesn't matter what your voice sounds like, just do it as a practice. And people, I think, hear that, and then it's less about like, oh, I'm singing in front of people. It's like you're just sounding your voice, sounding your mantra
That's it.
voice.
Yeah, I love that because, you know, sometimes I'll tell people, look, you know, these are not words that we're chanting, you know, so you have to kind of like divorce your paradigm, you know, from language, you know, these are not, we're not chanting words, in other words, you know, so sometimes I use the analogy of like when you're listening to like beautiful piano music, you're not sitting there analyzing like, oh, what does that note mean? Or like, what does that sound mean? You know what I'm saying? You're just like enjoying the piano music, you know what I'm saying? So you can kind of like conceptualize mantra in the same way, or these sacred syllables in the same way. You know, it's like you don't want to be thinking, you know, you don't want to be like analyzing anything. It's just experiencing these vibrations, right?
Totally. That's it. That's it. It's to be experienced. Yeah,
It's an
exactly.
experience.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And for folks that, yeah, might be a little hung up on, like, chanting the names of Hindu deities and all this kind of stuff, like, it's not really even about that, like, how do you explain that to people?
Yeah, it's a good point. I mean, for us, we're definitely coming from a unity perspective, so we don't just do like Hindu deity mantras. We do others, we do he some Hebrew chants. We do some
Love
stuff
that.
in English, so, but yeah, I mean, yeah, there is a
Was gonna say also I introduced the energy of the deities as more, a universal energy as opposed to a deity. Like my meditation background is tantric, it's esoteric. So it's about taking, the conventional and expanding it into the greater universal energetic truth of it. So that's usually how I introduce it. So people are, I'll say explicitly, like, you're not chanting to a deity outside of you. This is an energy that's already moving within and all around you, and we're just seeking to align ourselves with it more.
Yeah.
Try to make it very, very
That's right.
expansive and universal for people.
You're sort of tuning into something that's already there, right? I mean, it's
Exactly.
like just, well, nobody has radio dials anymore, I don't want to, like, I don't want to age
Data.
us here, but yeah, I mean,
Data.
when I was growing up, driving around in the car, I mean, you literally had to turn this little wheel for, anybody under the age of, 30 that might be listening to this. You had to turn this little dial to find the correct frequency to be able to tune into that radio station. And so, oftentimes tell folks, like, as you're chanting, some of these chants have been chanted in the same way for, I think about, like, Om Trayambakam Yajamahe, that one. It's in the Rig Veda. I mean, this thing's like 5,000 years old or more. And so people have been chanting this thing, like, in the same way for thousands of years, you know what I'm saying? And so it creates this, like, imprint, right? Or this frequency, and so, and it's already there. You know what I'm saying? Like, that imprint, that residue is there. So you just kind of, like, you're just tuning your consciousness into this thing that's already been going on for 5,000 years to connect to that level of consciousness, right?
Totally. That's
Okay,
good.
cool. Yeah. Make sure I'm not talking a bunch of nonsense when I'm
No. That's you nailed it. That's exactly what it is.
Yeah, I think
Yeah.
it's totally that. Like, it's been chanted for, thousands of years, even eternally. The Vedas are eternal in that way. And it's also the mantras are vibrational tools, so they vibrationally realign us. We can get, I often use the analogy of dissonance versus resonance, and it's just the human condition that we get really dissonant in our bodies, our minds, our nervous system, and mantra is a tool to vibrationally create resonance. And so, yeah, we are picking up then on the frequencies of what is deeper and more true, and just naturally are more clear in the connection to it through chanting mantras.
And how when we chant, because I mean we're chanting out loud, right, with our physical body, Anamaya Kosha or whatever you want to call it, but it really affects the energetic layer, the Pranamaya Kosha or whatever. Have you all thought about, like, what's going on there as far as, like, when we chant, maybe what's going on in the chakras and stuff?
Yeah, I don't think so much in the lens of the chakras, but sound vibration, we are vibration on every level. So to generate, my understanding is, like, hearing the mantras on one level, that's going to be beneficial. It's like someone else is chanting it or you're listening to it, that's going to recalibrate you. But when you're sounding the mantra, you're vibrating it deeper inside your being. So it just has a more profound, it has a deeper effect. So, it's also the Manomaya Kosha, right? It's also the mental
That's right.
body, the thoughts. We're thinking the mantras as we're sounding them. And it, then you get everything balanced in the body, the mind, the energy, then just the deeper consciousness, deeper bliss just naturally has a space to show itself within. And the mantra is so powerful. One of the concepts of of Tantra, as well as it's Vedic, is the Matrika Shakti, you know, that the Sanskrit language is at one with reality. And but that reality exists on many levels, you know, from the most ultimate all the way to the spoken word, you know, from idea to thought to word. And so, you know, we're working on the different levels of consciousness as much as the map of understanding the koshas. It's just the spectrum of reality we're moving through as well when we're working with vibration and just, you know, map on top of map. We're moving into so many levels.
Yeah, I love that because and it calms all that down. You know, it's interesting because it, you know, when you're doing it, when you're like actively chanting and you're up dancing and stuff, or you're like really into it, it's moving a bunch of stuff around. So it's vibrating a bunch of stuff. But then I find, you know, afterwards, everything's just like it just, you know, it just calms down. You think about like a bottle that you kind of like shake up, shake up, shake up, and you move all the stuff around and then but then at the end, you know, everything just calms down and the mind is so clear, the energy's so clear, the emotions are calm, you know,
Yes.
the body even is like more relaxed.
That's it. That's why we do what we do for that exact reason. You know, it's like, I mean, look, it's amazing to go around and, you know, well, I should say, you know, it, you know, the road presents, you know, just what's the word? I want to almost say uncomfortableness, but I don't think that's quite the word I'm looking for. But that's just the nature of being on the road. You know, you're away from your home, you're away, you know, all this stuff. But it is also worth it because of the medicine of chanting mantra. You know, I mean, straight up, it's like every single event that we have, you know, everyone that's showing up is bringing in their own stuff to it, you know, as well as us, you know, we're also bringing our own stuff. And so how freaking fortunate that like night after night we can go and we can be in community and get this medicine, you know, this thing, because that's exactly as you say, you know, it has that medicinal quality. And so it's like, yes, we love to do this. And we get such a huge medicinal hit from doing it.
Yeah, I mean, you can tell in your videos and stuff, you know, like I mean, when you're behind that keyboard, man, I mean, you're just in another headspace, you know, just
Totally.
rocking out. And you want to talk about some of the folks that you've been blessed enough to play with out on the road, maybe over the past just couple years?
Yeah, man. I mean, David Newman is up in Asheville, North Carolina. He's got a venue called Iyer Prana Listening Room. That's fantastic. And David is just a dear brother of mine, and I love playing keyboards for his set so much. He just lets me get as funky and as weird as I want to, and as hard and so yeah, it's so fun, so fun. And then on the opposite end of the spectrum, that is just as powerful and satisfying and healing is I've played a couple times for Donna DeLory, who's more on like the pop end of kirtan. She used to be one of Madonna's backup singers and dancers, and then found bhakti yoga, and she's amazing, but she requires a different sensitivity on the keyboards, and so that is equally amazing, you know, to experience that. Let's see what else. Sarasota Kirtan Festival just happened about a month ago.
Nice.
That was really fun. I went down there and did four sets. One was for David, and then a woman from Orlando who we love dearly, Dana Kaplan, and Mirabai Moon and Rick Franz.
Oh,
Those were
wow, cool.
I did. But yeah, really fun. And Garish is another one I've
Oh,
done
Girish, yeah, we
sets
saw him
for.
in Santa Fe, New Mexico when we were living out in in Colorado.
Nice.
That was really cool, and he had a great
Nice.
turnout too. It's all
Yeah, I
good.
believe
It's all good.
it's
Yeah,
all good. That's
I love
it.
that
Oh,
dude, man. Yeah, very cool.
and then I'm really excited in June. I'm gonna be going up to the Iropana Listening Room in Asheville. And I think it's gonna be 2 nights. I think they added a second night, but I'll play keys for my first time for someone who I've admired for many, 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 many years and has a very parallel story as mine. And that's Guru Ganesh. Do you know Guru Ganesh?
He used to the guy did he play with Snotam? He played guitar. Oh yeah, so good, man. He plays.
So
He's
good.
got a little
So
bit
good.
of like a. I
Jerry
hate to
Garcia.
compare people, yeah, but he's got a little bit of that Jerry Garcia tone. I don't know if he uses like an envelope filter, compressor, or whatever, but it's got that same like. So good, man. Yeah. Oh, that's
So
awesome.
good.
Very
Yeah.
cool.
Yeah, brother.
Very cool. Right on. So you got that coming up in June. Where else are y'all going to be going in the next few months here?
Well, actually, we're getting on a plane on Wednesday and flying out to LA, and we'll do Southern California and Northern California over the next couple of weeks. And then what else?
We have some through March and April, some local and regional events. In March, we are going to go up to Philadelphia
Oh,
and
yeah. New York.
New York for a family visit, but we made a little tour out of it. But our next after and yeah, some Southeast stuff, and then in March we're going, sorry, May, going through the Midwest again and back, Northeast again in the fall, late September and into October.
In September, we have our the equinox,
Fall
fall
equinox
equinox. We have a
retreat.
second year of doing a retreat up in Blue Ridge, Georgia,
Oh,
at
nice. My old stomping grounds.
a retreat center called Heartwood
I've heard of
Retreat.
that place. Nice.
Super cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Awesome.
And then we also learned a couple weeks ago, we just did a Florida tour, like 12-day Florida tour. And on that tour, we found out that we are going to be leading retreat at the Shivananda Ashram in the
Oh, nice.
Bahamas. That'll be
Oh,
over
cool.
the
Yeah.
winter solstice.
Oh. Nice.
Big deal. We're so excited.
Yeah.
So honored.
When
Yeah,
is
part
the
of
South America tour happening?
Please, brother. Let's. Yes.
It starts in
Yes.
Chile. Yeah.
Yes.
And ends in
Yeah.
Chile. No, you can go to other places. It's cool.
Chile. Yeah.
Yeah. No. Yeah. I'd be more than happy to help y'all organize something.
Really?
Oh yeah, man. I've been all over like Bolivia, Peru, Cusco, Argentina.
Oh, bro.
San Pedro, we got contacts everywhere, man. We'll help you out for sure.
Would love that.
We'd
Yeah.
love
Great.
it.
Great.
Cool.
Do you guys do retreats there at your place?
Absolutely. Yeah. We
Amazing.
do mostly yoga teacher trainings, 200 hour and 300 hour, and then we do meditation retreats, some shorter retreats, and then some more extended. And we always have volunteers coming in and out. We just had a guy here from England who was here for the past couple weeks. Really cool guy. And yeah, it's great. It's kind of like a hub, you know. I mean, we're out in the middle of nowhere. But
Awesome.
folks will come out if you got good stuff going on. So yeah, we could definitely organize some type of sacred chant retreat or what have you. But yeah, we'll make something happen.
Where are you guys? Where?
We're in the south of Chile, kind of in the Patagonia region. The closest town is called Pucón, Pucon. So if you look it up on a map, Pucón. And it's cool. It's considered like the Boulder, Colorado of South America. It's like a real outdoorsy place. Lots of kayaking, mountain climbing, snowboarding, ski resorts, and all that kind of stuff. It's beautiful, man. You'd love it. It's just delicious. So.
So cool.
I lived in Argentina for 6 months,
Really?
in like late like 1999, I think the year was, but I was able to travel down to Patagonia for a couple weeks, not to the just on the Argentine side, but there's a couple places I wanted to go in Chile, I just never made it to that part of
Oh gosh, I
Patagonia,
had
but
no
it's
idea, Jean.
so
That's
beautiful
so
down there.
awesome.
Yeah, so beautiful. What's up? This Torre de
Torres del Paine.
yeah,
My
Torre del Paine. Oh
nephew
yeah.
just lived down there for the last, he's living with us now. He spent the last
Wow.
3 years living there and working at the national park down there.
Oh my gosh, amazing. Yeah.
Small
So
world.
cool. Yeah.
Cool.
So yeah, well, let's talk about it.
Cool. Right on. How can folks find out more about your offerings and tour dates and stuff?
Well, we keep a website, gershonmusic.com,
Okay.
GERSHONE.com. It has more about
Yeah,
us, our
I'll put it in the description and
Great.
the
Yeah.
show notes and stuff.
Didn't that say Gershon
You
Music?
did, you did,
Oh,
you
okay.
did. But
Spelled
then when you
Gershon.
spelled it,
Okay.
yeah, just to make sure.
Right, sure. Gershon Music. Retreat information is on there. So yeah, that'd be great. Thank
Man, y'all are just popping. I love it. I'm so
you.
glad that, and you know, this podcast is really, I mean, it's devoted to yoga and meditation in general, but especially, you know, here in the West, you know, for Westerners like us who were born and raised here and come from more of a sort of Judeo-Christian background, all that. And you know, how we can like integrate all of these things and practice them in an authentic way and feel real good about it. And so I feel like y'all are carrying on that tradition, you know, so just on behalf of all Western yogis, you know, we're extremely grateful.
Yeah.
Likewise, brother.
Thank
Thank
you.
you so much. Thank you for reaching out and
Well, thank
asking
you all
us.
for taking the time. I really appreciate it.
Likewise,
So,
brother.
it's a pleasure.
Let's stay in touch.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Blessings.
Bless
Thanks.
you, bro.